Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Georgia Wrestling Now!
With your host from the award-winning WrestlingPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt Hankins. That may have been the best one yet.
That's what happens when I don't think of things early enough.
Well, for those who don't know, the reason he was singing Fleetwood Mac or Stevie Nicks is because tonight's guest is the man once known as Gold Dust, maybe still known as Gold Dust, also known as Dustin Rhodes and Dustin Reynolds and various other names, but he is going to be calling in later in the show, and he will be part of Universal Independent Wrestling's Super Show this Saturday, taking on Murder One, so I'm sure he will have plenty to talk about. And then before that, we will hear from slightly lesser-known local wrestler named Johnny Danger, who will be part of Peace. Slightly. We'll be involved in Platinum Championship Wrestling this Saturday, Pro Wrestling Resurrection on Sunday, and he's also a big part of Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, so he's also got plenty to talk about. But before that, we're supposed to hear from Dab Savage, a guy from Albany who mostly wrestles for Showtime Wrestling, but he is, I believe, a finalist in the TNA gut check thing that we have been touting. We haven't mentioned it in a while, but we were several, I guess, a couple months ago. We were letting people know about it, and so at least one local guy has made it pretty far. So
is that from the voting deal?
I'm not sure if it's the same thing or if it is a separate one, but I know if you go to challenge.tnagutcheck.com, you go to bracket 17, which is, I believe, the latest bracket, and he's made it that far. So
it also sounds like one of those sci-fi CGI movies.
Bracket 17?
Yes. Instead of, what was that shit where the aliens came and they, District 9, they would have had Bracket 17?
Yeah.
Lorenzo Lamas would have showed up. It would have been great.
Well, and speaking of TNA, that is the only show I made it to in the past week was Impact Wrestling at the Gwinnett Arena. And I learned that when they say Impact Wrestling is live, they actually mean it happened 2 hours ago. Because we saw what aired live first, and then while that was airing, quote-unquote, live, we were watching next Thursday's show. So I'm not really sure how they...
They're never actually live.
I knew they were
taping two shows, obviously, but I didn't realize that the first one wasn't live.
Yeah, I figured they just, that one was live, and then they taped the next one.
Were they starting at like 6 o'clock then when they were at 8? Did this just start because they moved to 9 o'clock?
I really don't know. I just know that this show started at 7, and they did an explosion match with Doc and Rob Terry, and then Bully Ray came out, and then they had a Bound for Glory series match with Hernandez and Chavo. And then it went from there, and at first I thought this was all just pre-show stuff, and then I was like, no, they wouldn't be wasting this stuff just for the local crowd or whatever. So
was Rampage Jackson there?
Rampage was there. He came out and was confronted by Kurt Angle in the first half of the show, Kurt Angle told him that basically, I mean, this is all stuff that I guess aired last Thursday, so I don't think it's a spoiler, but told him that this was his world, and if he wanted to get anywhere, he'd have to go through him, and then they shook hands, and then at the risk of spoiling something for next week, there was another interaction between Kurt Angle and Rampage Jackson that I guess will be a part of next Thursday's show. And we saw last week's guest, Christopher Daniels, was part of the
show. I know that guy.
Well, I'll just say that once again, you're a guest on this show, good things happen for you. So.
Jungle karma. That's what Jim Rome used to have when people would come on his show to talk sports. They'd always win. So, jungle karma.
Well, I think we've got Mr. Dab Savage joining us now, so I'll bring him on the line.
How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. So explain to us what this particular gut check challenge thing is. Is this the same one that's been going on for a couple of months, or is this a different one?
Yeah, guys, it's the same one. They did 16 brackets. I was bracket 6. Dominated my bracket, obviously. And obviously. And so here we are. We're in the finals, and I'm currently number 4. And the three competitors that are in front of me, one's a hot chick named Shanna, which if she wins, God bless her, I would be cool with that. But the other two are your generic-y, bald, cage fighter, tribal tat-looking guys. And if I don't know if you guys have seen enough of those, but I sure have.
Tap-out boys?
Yeah, some tap-out boys. You know, if I want to watch that shit, I'll watch UFC. I got into wrestling for entertainment, not for, I want to beat you up. Okay, I want to beat you up, too.
What are their names? I bet they've got the worst names.
One's name is Bad Bones.
I was just going to say, if there are bones in it. I promise you.
There's definitely a bone.
There are bones in it.
Yeah, man, shoot me in the head, you know? I mean, good God.
I love him. He's my favorite. Bones is the best.
Oh, yeah, just Bones. Well, I mean, I don't know how he came up with it. I mean, the name's really original. I mean, he's bad, obviously.
That guy don't take no guff off of nobody.
I mean, he's got bones. Oh, I mean, duh. So, I mean, he's Bad Bones. And I hate that, I mean, putting his little gay ass over on the... I'm sorry for the cussing, but I'm sorry, I apologize for even putting him over on the radio here. He doesn't deserve for his name to come out of my beautiful mouth.
Well, Dab, for those who aren't familiar with you, you're mainly a tag team wrestler, right?
No.
No?
No, I mean, but I do some tag team. Me and my partner, Johnny Romano, we tag as the Hype, but... Dab Savage. Ooh, goodness. Dab Savage. Sorry, I've had been a happy hour for a while. Dab Savage is a one-man show. The YouTube sensation, the ladies' temptation, the man that every woman wants to ravage. Oh, baby, I am Dab Savage.
I like Savage, too. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good name. I've seen some wrestling, some things online that, you know, maybe a name like Dan Sackett would go pretty far in some of these things. Just saying.
Yeah, you want to hear a funny story? You know how I got the name Dab Savage?
Sure.
Because it's not my real name. I hate to break kayfabe here, but my name's actually Chandler Dab. No, coinkydink. When I was like 18, I put my real name, Chandler Dabs, into a porn star name generator.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out Dab Savage. And I remember being like 18, 19 years old and being like, damn, that's pretty cool. If I ever got to porn, I'd be Dab Savage. And so when I got into wrestling and stuff, you know, they're like, all right, kid, what's your name going to be? And I was like, Dab Savage, duh.
Fucking Bad Bones was taken, so you went with the second best on that.
Well, yeah, my number one choice was Bad Bones, you know. But then my balls dropped and I became Dab Savage.
So was this primarily the internet arm of the contest? Is that how you got so far with this one?
Well, I mean, yeah. It was judged, you know, simply on my great looks, my wonderful charisma, and my, you know, enticing personality. But, yeah, I guess you could say it was internet voting, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
But, I mean, you were up against some heavyweights. You know, there were some media marketers in that thing for a while. So
yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you know, here's my thing. Am I the best wrestler in the world? Nah. Do I do the most booze in the world? Sure don't. I do a bunch of crazy stuff? Nope. But
also
am I a great marketer and a great promoter and have a wonderful body and wonderful charisma? Yeah. All of the above.
If you out-tweeted Sugar Duncan, then you deserve an award anyway.
And obviously, as you can tell, I have real low self-esteem, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Incredibly modest as well.
If I can ever get over that, man, the sky's the limit for me. I really do think.
Man, you're going...
It's like Alanis Morissette said, yes, I really do think. That's their little pop culture in there with you guys. And, you know,
hell yeah. Yeah, it was 1992. That's great.
bro, that was 95.
No,
Jagged Little Pill. Come on now.
94-ish.
I didn't listen to that much, oddly enough. Because I didn't cut myself, but hey, you know.
But yeah, man.
People go to vote for you?
Well, I've only had to put this on my Facebook about 600 times. I see it in my sleep now. It would be challenge.tnagutcheck.com. And I am currently in fourth place. I'm the really good-looking guy in the zebra pants and the good tan, the abs, number four right now. And, yeah, just go. You go to that website. You register. They'll send you a link. It takes like 2 seconds, and then you just click on Dab Savage and you vote. It's real simple.
And how long is voting? How long can people vote till Thursday?
The last day will be the 15th, which I believe is Saturday.
Saturday. Okay.
Get after it.
All right.
Yeah,
well, as
man,
far as I
know,
can tell,
spread the word. Let's whore it out. You know, let's do this thing.
As far as I can tell, you're the only Georgia participant still in the running, so I guess
I dominated. That's what I'm saying. Let's do it for our, you know, our home state here.
Right. Well, there you have it. So go vote for Dab Savage, Chandler Dabbs, porn star name generator.
Dab Savage. We'll cut the Chandler Dabbs stuff.
All right. Well, good luck with that, and. Hopefully you'll win, and we can have you back on sometime soon as a winner.
Yeah, man. How about this? If I win because of the votes that I got from you guys, I will get a tattoo with your radio show name on it on my hip bone.
I like this already.
So that's a PR move, man. Whore me out. I'm telling you. Oh, and I'm almost 30 years old. I don't even have a tattoo. And my first one will be of you guys. So
what is wrong?
Whore me
out. How have you survived so long?
Yeah, hashtag whore dab out.
I like where this is going.
But yeah, man, thank you guys for having me on the show. And if you need anything else, holler at me and appreciate it.
All right, good luck.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye.
So have you ever seen this guy wrestle, Matt?
No, I don't know this guy. And that's more of a mark on me than it is him.
Well, no, I thought that was strange, too, because of I remember Kyle Matthews. Who else was all in that? Crew Jones.
Kyle, Crew, Sean, Sugar. All those guys were in it. And this guy never crossed the radar. I guess we got to get south more.
Yeah, I have heard his name and seen some stuff on Facebook and whatnot, but I don't believe I've seen him live. So, but when you go to that website, and you click on his name, it does have one of his matches. So if you're not sold, that's how you can see a little bit more of him and see if you really do want to vote for him. But on to our next guest. He even got entrance music going. I would like to welcome to the show now Mr. Johnny Danger.
Let's get dangerous, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
awesome. I'm glad to be here, man.
Glad to have you. So you've got a busy weekend coming up. I assume you're going to be part of PCW's show on Saturday in Porterdale.
Most definitely.
Yet, you know yet who you'll be facing or what your role will be?
There's no telling. Sometimes I show up and, you know, I fight three or four guys. Sometimes they put me on commentary to carry the show. You know, whatever they need.
Well, what are your thoughts on the main event for that show? You're, if I remember correctly, De La Vega is a former ally of yours, and now he has taken on his own brother, Supernatural, for the PCW title.
Yeah, teaming with De La Vega, I did it for about 6 months. It was really my first big break in wrestling as part of the Surrealists when PCW was based out of Avondale Estates. And I've teamed up with Supernatural quite a few times as well. You know, those two were basically my best friends in the locker room. And what De La Vega did, I think it shocked all of us. And to be honest, I think Supernatural is going to stomp his rib cage halfway to China.
He's known for that. Has there been any explanation so far as to what happened?
You know, I don't know. I tried to talk to Vega backstage. He blew me off. All I know is what everybody else knows, what he said. Last time we were in Porterdale, that he feels he's been stuck in his little brother's shadow, and or his big brother's shadow, excuse me, because that's De La Vega now. He's a grown-ass man, little brother grown up, right? He's mad that he didn't get a title shot. He thinks Supernatural stole his thunder, and, you know, instead of going up there and earning a shot like we all have to do, he jumped his brother from behind.
Same thing happened to Metallica. You cut your hair, people turn on you.
That's it.
That's what happens.
That's why I'm never cutting my hair, baby.
Oh, you rocks it long. Well, it has been a pretty busy time for you, Mr. Danger, because, you know, you went from a guy who just kind of was around to being a whole lot of places. What's it been like?
It's ridiculous. I can't explain it. I'm loving it. It's the ride of a lifetime. I don't know when it's going to end, so I'm just riding it for all it's worth. Like you said, you know, I kind of came out of nowhere. I came out of the crowd, literally, in PCW. I went from watching the show to being in the show. So it's not for everybody, but if you can do it, there's nothing else like it.
And I would imagine, you know, you're a guy who's not the biggest dude in the world. You've got a definitely unique look. Did you just get your ass kicked in training?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, I think to a certain extent that needs to happen because we need to find out, you know, is this guy serious? Is he for real? I think when they broke my nose my third night of training and I got right back in the ring, they started to cut me a little slack.
Was there anybody who was particularly rough on you? Because you were in there at the time you were coming through PCW. There was some heavy swingers in that locker room.
There were. I'll just say that I've been in training with Brian Blaze, Fred Yehi, Marco Polo, Siler Cross, and that was before, you know, I even debuted.
Yeah. Well, maybe you get some birthday chops. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe my chest bled for a week.
Maybe. Maybe that happened.
It may be.
All a part of the game.
Call the hotline and find out, brother.
Johnny, of course, you also have formed a new allegiance. I guess not really new at this point, but you and Matt Sexcells formed the Rock and Roll Models a little while back, and you've recently been joined by Joey Kidman. And I believe you have you have a match this Sunday with Matt, right?
Yeah, so... The Rock and Roll Models, it's interesting. Me and Matt Sells, you know, we locked horns a few times before. I didn't like his attitude when he was in PCW with the Priority Males, but he's put all that behind him now. Totally different guy. You know, Rock and Roll Models were all about two things, banging heads and rocking beds. And you got to love that. Yeah, thanks for the laugh there. I thought that up myself.
That was good.
Write
it
down. Keep a notebook.
I'm going to do that. And, yeah, this Sunday, so I mentioned Marco Polo earlier. I've had a problem with that guy for almost 2 years now. He's joined up with Jeter and Brian Blaze, and they're calling themselves the Fraternity.
So what does that mean? They like to, you know, put on sheets and do butt chugging together? I don't know. All I know is they jump. What's that?
I think that's local to Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, never mind. All I know is they decided to jump us from behind, me, Sells, and Joey Kidman, and we're not going to take that laying down. So, yeah, there's going to be a six-man tag in Gainesville this Sunday.
And that is for PWR.
How are things rocking and rolling up there? It's kind of a been a lot of transition going on there. How do you feel about the situation in PWR?
There has, and, you know, I wasn't around for the early days. I didn't join up until they came to Gainesville. And to be honest, it took us a little while to build some momentum, but I think we're doing it. We've got a really good, devoted core audience. We're getting new people every week. And if you haven't checked us out yet, this coming weekend, this Sunday, is the perfect time because Father's Day special, all dads, tickets are only $1.
All right.
Well, and I know there's some dads in Atlanta.
And Gainesville probably, too.
Yeah. Make the drive.
Poppies. I think they call poppies there.
Whoa, kayfabe.
You probably need to know a little Spanish. I'm just saying. A lot of soccer wares. There used to be a really nice boot store, but I think they shut that down at the Mega Mart. But you can still get a soccer ball on your way in, so that's not an incentive. I don't know what it is.
I always get
that's
bananas
true.
While I'm up there.
Yeah, definitely come check it out. We're building up towards the big show, Heat Wave, on July 7th, and I really hope to be a big part of that.
Speaking of building toward big shows, you know, the PCW 4th of July show is becoming sort of a yearly attraction now. Do you know much about that show yet?
All I know is that the Revolutionary War Games will be back. You might have seen me in there last year getting dismantled by, well, I don't really want to talk about that. That's behind me now. But I believe it's going to be a Team Vega versus Team Supernatural.
So say there's a lot
it's
of
Dale Vega's YouTube
right now,
rambling, so. Is to be believed.
A lot going on. Some real bad blood could be shed.
No doubt. And I don't know the teams, but like I said, if Supernatural needs me, I'm there for him.
Well, that same weekend, that is a big weekend for wrestling shows here in Georgia, and Monstrosity Championship Wrestling is that Friday as well, which you have seems like a perfect fit for you, Johnny, being a wrestling fan and a monster fan.
It is. You know, I've been a fan of both all my life. You knew that. Professor Morte knew that. And then, you know, when I discovered the whole Van Helsing connection, what can I say? I'm drawn to it, man.
Yeah, well, how did you discover that you, in fact, have some Van Helsing blood in your veins?
So let's go back to September 29th, Sacred Ground last year. I was in the Platinum Royal and got thrown pretty much into the crowd, suffered a serious back injury. I didn't know if I'd ever wrestle again. Had plenty of time on my hands, so went on to Ancestry.com and connected the dots and found out that Johnny Danger is, in fact, descended from Abraham Van Helsing himself, who, of course, is the most famous monster hunter of all time. Come on, guys.
Yes, of course. I know that.
Indeed, indeed. And so I'm just picking up where he left off. You know, originally I came to MCW to destroy all the monsters, but my hetero life mate, Dragula, showed me that I didn't necessarily have to destroy all of them.
Just the ones with biases that are unhealthy.
Yeah, just the racist ones.
That may be the only time I've ever heard hetero and Dragula used in the same sentence.
And it'll probably be the last.
You know, it was good to see y'all patch it up even after you tried to use a Playboy against me.
Man, what can I say? I used what I had on me.
Cannot blame you. I would have tried it too. It worked. It really did work for a while.
For about 2 seconds, I was on top, man. And normally, Dragula's a top, I think.
I was
I don't even know what that means.
The joke that was begging to be made is what it was. So what got you into wrestling? Now, you know, I've talked a bit, and you're a wrestling enthusiast. Who'd you like coming up?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife about that the other day. The first wrestlers I ever remember seeing on TV were Jake the Snake, Andre the Giant, Randy Savage, and Hulk Hogan. And, you know, once you've seen those four, you're at the top. And that's what I wanted to be my whole life, you know, all 80 pounds soaking wet, doing Hulk Hogan promos in the mirror. And, heck, that's when I was in the 10th grade.
Speaking of promos, before you get out of here, I'm going to need to hear a Jeff G from you.
Jeff G.
I'm going to need to hear it.
Oh, man, can I still do it? Well, first of all, you don't tell Jeff G what to do. Jeff G does whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it.
I love a good Jeff G. It's just immaculate.
I know you love a good Jeff G. So does your mother.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you have coming up, Mr. Danger, that we need to address right now?
You know, I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm showing up all over the place. So, of course, PCW in Porterdale, first and third, Saturday of every month, 2001 Main Street. Pro Wrestling Resurrection every Sunday, 2275 Browns Bridge Road in Gainesville. MCW at Club Famous. I'll fight anybody, man. What can I say? I'm Johnny Danger.
You will do that. That I can attest to, even if it's against my better wishes.
Hey, even if I'm the ball in the game of horse, and that's actually happened before.
All right, Johnny. Well, we appreciate you calling, and good luck this weekend and in the coming weeks, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Well, Matt, I think it's time to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will be talking to the man once known as Goldust.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Wrestling with Pop Culture's Jonathan Williams with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And Matt, our next guest, I'd rather not say what I had to go through to get him on the show, but he is known for his bizarre behavior and androgynous look, and his name is Gold Dust.
What's going on, man?
How you doing tonight, sir?
Good, brother. You?
Not bad. So I guess we should first ask, how should we address you, Gold Dust or Dustin, or what do you prefer these days?
It don't matter. Whatever you want to call me, Dustin's fine.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Dustin. Gold Dustin, how about that?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
So the last time most of us saw you was at the Royal Rumble, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, you had a little confrontation with Cody Rhodes there. And it kind of hinted at maybe something happening with that later in WWE. Do you know if that's a possibility?
It's always a possibility. Right now I just signed a Legends contract with them, so I am back under contract with them in some form. But, you know, it's a young man's game right now, and Cody, although he's not really in the middle of doing much right now, I would love to, but we'd really have to probably break Vince McMahon's arms to get to make it happen.
Well, speaking of breaking arms, I would say that your opponent this Saturday at UIW is not above such tactics. But I'm not sure what your particular interest is in Murder One. Do you guys have some history that I'm not aware of?
No, we don't really have any history. I just know that Murder One's a pretty tough kid. And he's been around for many years. And, yes, he's looking to prove a point, I guess, you know. He's been bad-mouthing me pretty hard on YouTube and things like that, and that's okay. I let my talking do it in the ring.
Have you had a lot of that as you've kind of been doing some other kinds of shows, that guys that maybe their name isn't as big trying to make a name from you?
Well, yeah, there's always, you know, the youngsters that are coming up. You know, I like to get in the ring with these guys so that I can teach them. Murder One's been around for a while, and so I'm going to have to be on my best guard with him. He's a tough guy. He's a tough cat. He's pretty serious. Talks a lot of smack, just like a lot of the guys. But the younger guys, they'll start talking smack, and they don't really mean it. They don't know what they're saying. So it's I'll get on there, and I'll do a little YouTube video back at them, and they shut down. And then we go out, and we have our match and have some fun, and hopefully they walk away, you know, that they've learned something. That's kind of my goal today, now, this late in my career, is to teach and pass it on to the younger generations.
Are there things that you've observed that you'd kind of like to counter-teach, maybe some things you think guys may be learning the wrong way coming up now?
Oh, hell yeah. Jesus Christ, how long do we have to talk?
As long as you want.
Got about half
you know,
an hour.
I do these seminars, and I'll go in, and you'll have guys, they're all waiting, and I usually start with questions. And they'll ask me all kind of questions, and then, you know, I can kind of get a feel of where they're at and what kind of, if they even are a worker. You know, because a lot of them are fans and they just want to roll around in the ring. They think they can do it, and it's not the case, man. It's hard, and I'll try to teach them something, and I'll know straight out of a lockup or if they're hitting the ropes the wrong way. You know, if these kids are just fans, if they just want to say, hey, I can be in a wrestling ring and I can do this. Too much bullshit. I mean, it's a hard living, and a lot of the younger talent, they don't know how to tell stories anymore. There's no psychology. They just want to hit the ropes 1,000 times as fast as possible, and spot monkeys just doing spot after spot after spot, and it not mean anything, and then get beat with something that is so stupid that it's like you did all this and you were on match number one, so, you know, the main event is what the people pay to see, and you're going to do all this stuff, and I understand you're trying to entertain and trying to make a name for yourself, but you got to save some stuff for the main event. Because I can go out there and tell a story and follow anybody. It's no big deal, but I'm just trying to teach the youngsters that there's a place on the card. You know, you build up to your main event. You don't go out there and you destroy the night by setting the tone too fast and doing stuff that's just stupid that don't mean anything. And that right there at the basics, I think, and the lost art of psychology with a lot of young guys today is, it pisses me off. And, but, you know, I don't know where they learn and who taught them and things like that, but it's just like somebody wants to make a quick buck, I'll teach you how to wrestle. That's, I'm not like that. That's, you know, you get in the ring with me, you're going to learn something. If you don't, then I didn't do my job well, but pretty damn sure you're going to learn something.
And you, psychology is, as you said, it is the lost art, you know, because people are doing moves today that people didn't even conceive doing, but they may not be necessary. Working psychology, was that something that was made a little bit more difficult being the Goldust character just because of the nature of the character?
Well, let me say this about, like, today's young guys, you know, you walk into WWE right now, and the roster is filled with everybody wants to learn how to work. They don't have that option of everybody, you're just coming in like I did, and everybody on the roster already knows how to work, so it's easy to learn that way. They have to go on the fly. They have to try things differently every night, and the only people that are giving them advice and telling them what's right and what's wrong are the agents. I mean, they can't go out there and do it with them. Mm-hmm. It's just times have changed, and back in my day in the Omni, which I miss the Omni so bad, it's pathetic. Not the Phillips Arena, man. I mean, the Omni. When I was in a tag team, you know, with Steamboat against Arn and Bobby, in that era, that time in my career, I didn't say a freaking word. I went out there and I watched Ricky Steamboat sell, which is another lost art. I watched Arn and Bobby, and I got in there, I kept my mouth shut, I did exactly what they told me to do because they knew what they were doing, and they weren't going to make me look bad. They were going to teach me the right way, how to sell something, how to fight back, when to fight back, when to listen, when to shut up. I mean, it's very difficult to learn. You can't teach psychology, you just have to feel it. It's a feeling thing. I know that's hard for young guys to understand, but it's not about. And I know today it's not wrestling anymore, it's entertainment, as they like to call it in WWE. And it's go out there and let's fill these few minutes of television before we go to commercial and let's build up to the main event. And let's get John Cena out there and CM Punk and whoever else and build the show around them. You got a 3-hour show and there's barely any storylines, and I hate that, you know. You get 3 hours to fill. That's a lot of time to fill. And you could be doing mid-card storylines. You could be doing up-and-comer NXT guys, you know, trying to fight to be on the roster on TV. And it's just such a lost art, man, and it sucks because they don't have that. They don't have guys like me. There's very few left anymore. There's Kane. There's Mark Henry. There's Triple H, Taker, myself. That's it as far as the veterans there. Everybody else is pretty young, new, third generation, whatever. And you have very few that really, really can teach them, you know. And NXT is a really great place to learn right now. It is. That's where our youngsters are. And we got some pretty good trainers down there. But it just takes time, man, to hone your skills and things like that. And it's just, you know, the Goldust character was tough for me, because I had been Dustin Rhodes, son of Dusty Rhodes, a country boy, which I am, a redneck, to go to such an extreme as an androgynous, wearing a wig, acting all goofy as shit, gold dust. It took me a while. It took me about 6-7 months to figure out that character. And it also, at the same time I'm trying to figure out that character, I'm trying to learn how to be a heel. I was a baby face, you know, for so long. So both of these things I have stacked up against me, and I'm trying to figure things out. Things aren't working. My healing is coming along, but it's not. I'm not getting the reaction that I wanted to get until finally I decided to turn it up and try a little something that I really didn't want to do in the beginning, which was act a little more, you know, kind of gay. And that was so before its time back then. If you try that stuff today, I don't believe it's going to work because it's so accepted in today's society that you try that, it's just, okay, he's just a gay wrestler, whatever.
Yeah.
But back then, man, people did not like that shit. And that word, I used that to my advantage, and I went 110% with a character. Vince went with a character for a couple years. I was a pretty, pretty nasty-ass heel, which was cool.
Well, that's something that. Go ahead, Matt.
What you could do with 3 hours, if you had had 3 hours when you were developing that character, do you think it would have taken off even bigger?
You know, I don't know about that. It'd probably take off the same, but it's just placement of the card and things like that, and you know, they devote like say Fandango right now. They're doing some good stuff with him and building him up and the Wyatt family with the videos and really looking forward to the Wyatt family for personal reasons because he's been, you know, the Wyndhams and family. And can't wait to see this. But I think that's just enough right now. You know, not too much. You don't want to do too much on a three-hour show with one character. You do a segment or two segments and then, okay, let's wait till next week. And you build it up like that. And they're doing that with Fandango. And now he's doing really well. And the people have, you know, taken a liking to it. So.
Well, speaking of the way they changed you when you came in, that's something that WWE has always done when they get talent from other promotions that is pretty well known. They tend to want to change it. And in your case, it was a drastic change. Sometimes it's a little more subtle, but and I'm sure there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Vince was thinking. You know, I just got fired from WCW, so it was. I was kind of in a family deal with my dad where we weren't talking, and I kind of wanted to step into my own shoes, you know, because I've been trying to wear his for so long. That I jumped at the chance. I didn't know what androgynous was when they were explaining it to me on the phone. But when Vince and I hung up, I looked up in the dictionary and I was like, "What the hell is that?" But I didn't turn back. I wasn't discouraged, and I just said, "Let's do this. Whatever it brings, let's do it. I'm making a name for myself here."
Well, do you know why they do that sometimes, where they, you know, take someone who's known for one thing somewhere and then want to repackage it in a completely different way?
Man, I don't. I think Cody was one of the last ones to actually get to use his last name, you know, and I tried to use Dustin Rhodes with Vince and, you know, to go back to it, you know, when Goldust wasn't at his best or whatever, and he wouldn't do it. You know, and I didn't understand that, and I still don't understand that, but it's whatever it is, you know, it's Vince's decision. But I think Cody was one of the last ones until recently with Henning, where they let him use his kind of last name. Now, granted, they're not letting Henning use his last name, but he does have, it's so much better than Michael McGillicuddy because he's got both his grandfather and his father in it, and it really...
Right.
I know he's happy with that. I know us as the boys in the back are big fans now of that change because that boy is a Henning, man. He's Mr. Perfect Son, and the world, you know, he deserves that. You know, he deserves to go out there and shine in his daddy's name and his grandfather's name. That I didn't understand with Vince, why the hell they would give him such a name like that, you know, but he swallowed it up and he was quiet and he kept quiet. He didn't piss off the wrong people or the right people or whatever. He didn't make the bad decisions, you know, and he kept his mouth shut and it came back to him. And now it's fixing to take off. It's fixing to take off big time.
Is that a big key when you do go in to the WWF, WWE now, is to just, you know, realize that you might have to swallow your tongue for a little while?
Especially today, yes. Maybe 6 years, 7 years ago, no, not so much. But today, 110% yes. It is political, very corporate. There is no, you're going out to party and stuff like that, and you get caught with anything like that, man, you're gone. I mean, they don't put up with anything, nothing bad. I mean, it's no cursing, it's no, I mean, everything has to go through certain channels and things like that. It's just, it's part of the process now. It's a business, it's a corporate giant. It's not wrestling anymore, and they're trying to, you know, to teach the young guys, and that's good because they're going to teach them something other than just being a professional wrestler, which is good, you know, because you're going to learn some skills, some entertainment skills, some production skills, all the stuff that goes along with it.
It seems like there are...
that attitude... Go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, it seems like there are exceptions to that, though, with people like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, who do sort of buck the system a little bit, and then they realize, you know, the potential in that.
Yeah.
Which
is good. I'm so glad that they finally ran, because I was an agent for a year and a half, I think, almost a year and a half. So I saw the Daniel Bryan stuff. I was there firsthand in the meetings when it was being discussed and things like that. And then once he finally got that fire, you know, lit under his ass, then, you know, Daniel Bryan's the type of person that's not going to look back. It's going to take it, and it did, and it's over. It's crazy right now. And same with CM Punk. I mean, you take an indie guy who loves the business, loves working, is a good worker, pushed himself and kept on and didn't give up, didn't back down, and is different, was different, and has created a new kind of superstar other than your cookie-cutter John Cena's and you know, the body guys and things like that. And it's really good. I love that because he's tatted up, straight edge, all that stuff. It's awesome. People love him. He's got like a cult following. So it's very cool that the audience is recognizing good work from the boys, wrestling to us, but entertainment to Vince. And that's how Vince looks at everything, if it's entertaining, if it's not. If you can talk, you're going to give it. You're going to be given a mic. If you can't talk, he's not going to put you on the mic, period.
And talking is one of those lost arts that we're kind of seeing as well, too. Was that something you ever struggled with, or did you
What's
just
that?
Kind of have it naturally? Just talking, being able to talk and get the character over outside of the ring.
No, Goldust was easy, man. It really was. I had good direction, and it was easy. I didn't get really flustered with it for the first couple years. Early in my career, you know, being the son of Dusty Rhodes and things and trying and learning my promos, I got a lot of advice and things from Arn, and because Arn's one of the best talkers in the business, and he would help me through because we were having angles with each other, and he would help me come up with, like, some storylines and how to do it. So I kind of learned and listened to learn from him how to talk and watched a lot of Flair. And, you know, just kind of, it started coming easier to me, quicker than it does a lot of guys. And I was named the natural. I mean, everything did really come easy to me. My smoothness in the ring and things like that, it didn't take too long. And we have a few of those guys here, you know, and a lot of them are the sons of great, great wrestlers like Randy and like Kurt Hennig. And you got Barry Windham, myself. You got Richie Steamboat, which is out on injury right now. But you have so many of the sons that know what the hell they're doing because they've been in it for so, so long and love the business.
And Barry Windham is a guy that I think that when you were doing the Dustin gimmick, that you got compared to a lot. Was he somebody that you that maybe you didn't knowingly pattern yourself after, but you were watching a lot of?
No, I did pattern myself after Barry. It was Barry first. He's my best friend, and I wanted to be just like Barry. His movements in the ring, his arm drags, drop kicks, his smoothness, the way he worked, the way he walked, I modeled myself after him. And the guy who taught me how to sell was Ricky Steamboat. The guys who taught me how to talk and beat somebody up was Arn and Bobby Eaton and Larry Zbysko. Those five guys right there are who taught me the business.
You didn't have a whole lot of choice but not to be good if those are the people that are teaching you.
As long as I went in there and kept my mouth shut and did what they told me, that made me look really good. And it was easy. It really was.
One of them is a guy that people may not now think about as one of the, as far as performers go, the best all time. What was it that set him apart from other guys of his age in that time?
Man, to me personally, I think it was the way he moved, his smoothness and his ring psychology. But he could make everything look so effortless, the way he floated. It was, that right there is a special, special gift. Randy Orton's got that. Not too many other people have that kind of gift. Randy is smooth as silk. You make something look good without touching the guy or whatever, and even make it really look good. Those guys can do it.
And
get up like.
Goes back to having your character down pat and knowing how not to stray from it.
You have to dwell inside your character, man, and really own the sumbitch.
And when you have a character like Goldust, does that get really difficult to do with how much time you have to spend in that character, considering what a stark contrast it was to, you know, who you are in real life?
No, not really. It's been very good to me, man. I mean, it's been like 18 years in the Goldust paint, and I'm very proud that it's kept its longevity. It's been through ups and downs and changes and things like that, but the people definitely remember Goldust, and it's cool. It's very cool to be a front runner for leading that character to, you know, good things and given that opportunity and chance by Vince to really, really shine. He did. He made a superstar in Goldust.
And the run that you had as Goldust with Booker T is just some of the funniest things from that time. Was it as fun doing it as it looked on? Because it looked effortless. I mean, it really did look like that was just how you acted all the time.
No, it really was. That's probably the funnest time I've had in my career was Booker T stuff with me and him. You know, it started out as supposed to be just a one-time thing with the Scorpion King, the Booker T and Goldust at the movies, and the writers and whatever. I liked it so much that, you know, because we're such an odd couple. You got Booker T and then you have this fucking freak Goldust, and you know, they're just, you wouldn't think they would mesh, and they don't, but they play off each other in such a funny way that the second week that we, you know, we did something again, they said, damn, we're on to something there. And I didn't see it yet, you know what I mean? I was just like, okay, I'm having fun. This is cool. And after third and fourth week, you started hearing, you know, backstage, we're shooting the stuff live, and it's like you're hearing the pops when I walk in or when Booker walks in. So now I'm starting to see the people are waiting for it, and they're liking it every week, and this is the reason why, because this shit's funny. And me and Booker, our chemistry was, I can't explain it, man. I mean, you would not think. I mean, it was so easy. We just played off each other, and we'd go off script, and we'd just, like, facials and ad-libbing and things like that, and it was so fun that we were given that freedom to do that, because sticking to a script just sucks, you know. It doesn't bring out the ultimate funny. And mine and his reactions back and forth made the thing gold, man. And it was really cool to really come to work every week and know that I'm going to do something different this week. The crowd's going to be waiting for it. So that was a very special moment.
Well, you're in town this weekend with us at a UIW, at an independent show. Have you done many of those in the last little while?
Yeah, it's about a year and a half since I was up, you know, in WWE. Been doing independents everywhere, just about. Just got back from overseas, and now I'm driving up to Georgia.
And what do you look for when you get ready to take one of those bookings? Because I'm sure that you have to turn some more down than you have to take.
Well, it just depends on a bunch of things. I mean, today, I'm 44. I mean, not today, but what I look for now is I'm 44 years old, and I want to get in that ring safely and the ring not collapse. So if it's some kind of backyard promotion and bullshit like that, I'll know it just by talking to the guy on an email or something like that. This one I'm going to here in Billerica is, it's pretty good. It's been around for a while, and I know the guy personally, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to get back in Georgia because I haven't had many Georgia dates since I've been on the independent scene, and it's good to get back to Georgia.
Well, I know when it was announced, you know, a couple months ago, you know, it seemed like it'd be forever, and here it is upon us. I know the crowd was pretty excited to find out that you were coming.
Well, I can't wait either, man. Next
having
Saturday,
murder
right?
One, that is having murder one there is could be problematic for you, but I look for you to stand in there with it.
I'll do my best. And I appreciate
right,
it,
well,
guys.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it, and I certainly appreciate you calling in, and wish you luck this weekend. Do you have any other shows coming up in Georgia at all, or is that the only one for now?
No, that's it for a couple months, actually. I'm working on some more, but we're trying. It's just a process that I go through with my agent.
And being back under contract with WWE, is that something that you have to consider? Is it limiting in any way?
No, it's not.
What is the? I've always been curious about the Legends contracts. I know you have to make appearances at things like the WrestleMania Fan Fest or Access or whatever, and things like that. But what else does that require of you?
Every once in a while, if they want you to, host a DVD or something that's coming out, things like that. You know, Raw appearance, SmackDown appearance, but. It's around my schedule now, so it's good. It works.
It sounds like the best of both worlds, man.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Well, we'll
look forward to having you in state with us. We'll be glad to get out. I know I'll be in the building.
Good deal, man.
I'm planning on making
a lot
it out
of other
there
people
well.
Will.
All right.
All right.
I appreciate
well, thanks.
It, guys.
Thank you, and we will see you on Saturday.
Okay, boss.
All right.
Bye.
So that concludes yet another exciting edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. We will be back next Monday at 7, and I'm working on getting somebody from Rampage Pro Wrestling's Big Super Show. It looks like it might be Mike Cruz, but do not know for sure yet.
I'll take that.
We're trying to get somebody we haven't had on before, and that's... We're getting lower on
the list.
The
list is getting small.
Yeah. But that is someone I don't think we've ever spoken to on this show. So, and I'm looking at Anarchy's show for that weekend as well, and I think there are a few people on that card that we haven't spoken to. So, but we are not opposed to repeating guests, so we'll see what happens next week. But thanks for listening, and you have anything before we go, Matt?
I'm good as gold. Go to wrestling.
There's lots of it.
If you weren't at DSCW on Saturday, I'm sorry for you. I saw Tyler Crump get powerbombed. It was something to behold.
Is that Cyrus?
Yes, it was.
Cyrus will be a part of that UIW show as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
If DSCW is little far for you to drive, at least you have a chance to see him there.
I recommend it wholeheartedly.
All right. Well, we will be back next Monday, and thanks for listening.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.